Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Al Corlin, and I certainly appreciate you joining me. I have Jeff Deist on the line with me. You know, this was a very, very interesting week for Jeff and for his boss, Congressman Ron Paul. They vacated the office back in Washington, D.C. on the Hill, and I wanted to chat with Jeff a little bit about it. Had to be a bittersweet experience on the one hand, and I'd like to know what the congressman's plans are for the future, Jeff. What was it like moving out of the office after being in there for so long?
Al, it was very strange. You know, Dr. Paul's been in there since 1997, and as far as I'm concerned, he's been the only guy in there since 1997.
Right.
And, you know, so it's tough, it's sad. You know, a part of me wishes he was still going to be chairing the Monetary Policy Subcommittee and drawing attention to this stuff. But, you know, we saw the purge last week where some supposed conservatives were thrown off their committees for not voting with leadership frequently enough. We saw Jim DeMint left the Senate, or announced he was leaving the Senate, After running for president, it's kind of a step down to just be a rank and file member of Congress again. So, you know, I think there's no question it was the right decision. He's still a really young guy, still an energetic guy, and look, he's going to have a fantastic life going forward. I'll give you an example. I got an email today asking for him to come in March and address the Oxford Union in England, which is one of the oldest, most historic debating societies, you know, on earth.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to get a lot of invitations like that.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting.
He's a pretty energetic guy, you're right. And, you know, he is one of the few politicians out there that I think really had something important to say. And I know each and every one of our listeners feels exactly the same way. You know, he was a real healer, for lack of better terms. You know, and Jeff, what I mean by that is, you know, you know my family, you know, and Kathy is fairly liberal, and my oldest daughter, Kim, is fairly liberal. And both of them, just right out of the blue, said on a number of occasions, you know, if the congressman were on the ticket, you know, we would be voting for him. There's no question about that. You know, and when you have, on the one hand, liberals saying that, and when you have conservatives saying that, you realize what a great healer the man is. No pun intended, given the fact that he's also a physician.
Well, of course, he's the real liberal. You know, obviously the term was hijacked at some point in the 20th century, but Mises and Hayek and Milton Friedman and Ron Paul, they're the real liberals of the 20th and now 21st century, right? They're the ones who think that you should be, government should be liberal and let you do what you want to do with your life. But, you know, it's interesting to think about changes he's brought about, especially amongst young people.
Yeah.
You know, our monetary policy used to be considered the most boring backbench issue, even amongst economists who are not known as being wild and crazy guys, right? Even amongst economists, it was considered the boring technical stuff, the dry stuff. And then look what happened, the tech bubble in the early 2000s, the housing bubble. And also sort of somewhere in between there, you had the Enron accounting scandal and the implosion of Arthur Andersen, their auditor. And between all that, all of a sudden, the banking committee, this boring committee in Congress, became the Financial Services Committee. And they passed Sarbanes-Oxley, and all this stuff came to the fore. And then you had Ron Paul running for president twice now, and he has kids, 20-year-old college kids, chanting, end the Fed, at a Ron Paul rally. Al, you know, 30, 40 years ago, you would never have had college students interested in chanting, end the Fed. You know, they were skipping class to do other things. So really, it's a sea change in terms of bringing to the forefront the notion that fiat currency and deficit spending create an unholy alliance, and, you know, it's going to affect all of us. It's going to affect the average guy in this form of the most insidious tax of all, the inflation tax.
Yeah.
But to me, Ron bringing monetary policy to the forefront of the American public's debate is his single biggest achievement.
Well, he's done some pretty great things, and I know that, you know, you and I have chatted about this before. I know that Ron is very, very definitely going to going to continue to make a huge, huge change in American politics. What absolutely amazes me, quite frankly, is the fact that all politicians don't feel the same way that he does, because all he's talking about is absolute 100% common sense.
Well, I agree, and I'll tell you what, for your listeners, we are going to try real hard to get him to come out to a hard asset conference this year. So stay tuned in 2013, and you might get a chance to see him live.
Well, we're also going to try to get him on the show. I mean, he's a guy. I know he's been really busy in the past, but it would be great to have both of you guys on, whether you do the interview, whether I do the interview. It doesn't matter. People really want to hear as to what he has to say. Generally speaking, you set his agenda. What are kind of overall plans for 2013 for Congressman Ron Paul?
Well, first, he's going to go home and work on his tomatoes a little bit in Texas. He's been neglecting for the last 4 or 5 years. And he happens to own a boat that he likes to take out on the Gulf. And, he also happens to enjoy the hot weather and wearing shorts on Christmas, in South Texas. But beyond that, he has a speaker's bureau lined up that's going to act as his agent and get him speaking engagements, to an extent around the world, but I think he'll be mostly focused in the U.S.
Yeah.
And he's going to continue to run his 501c4 issue advocacy organization, Campaign for Liberty. And he's going to concentrate on, I guess it's about 16, 17, 18 grandchildren and great-grandchildren at this point.
Wow. Any plans to write another book?
Yes. He has a couple books that he's already started working on, I won't say they're in the hopper because that would be putting pressure on him. But I wouldn't be surprised if they came out in the next 12 months.
Perfect. Well, what was it like for Jeff Dice, working for this guy? I mean, we've known each other for close to 10 years now. You're a pretty conservative guy. You're a dyed-in-the-wool libertarian. What was it like working for the congressman?
Well, I got to tell you, it was such an honor when I can say I spent about 10 years of my life serving Ron Paul, and I mean that in the most genuine sense. I was happy to do it, and so many of these members of Congress, I will tell you flat out, are egotistical, self-absorbed, self-important jerks.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about people who work their way up from being, little small-town mayors, county supervisors, school board members, mm-hmm. and just sort of worked their way up and hung around long enough and ran enough times that they finally became a member of Congress.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are just petty, shallow, vindictive people. I'm just telling you straight, Al. I mean, this is not an exaggeration. There are some real bozos in the U.S. Congress.
Yeah.
And to work for a man who was so gentle, so quiet, never raised his voice,
mm-hmm.
Always hired people that he thought were good and then just let them go. He was the total opposite of a micromanager. He delegated things, and very interested in people, very interested in ideas. I think a lot of it is just a reflection of his bedside manner as an OBGYN. Over the years, and it was a real honor to work for him, and I really look forward to just calling him a friend instead of a boss going forward.
I want to clarify one thing, because I know what you meant when you said hiring people and then letting them go. You didn't mean hiring them and then showing them the door. What you meant was hiring them and then let them do their own thinking.
Absolutely
right.
He wasn't having us take his dry cleaning to the cleaners or get his car washed, I assure you.
Pretty interesting guy. He's been my hero for as long as I've known him. We've shot a number of videos with the congressman. I've introduced him at various conferences. And I have to tell you, he has changed the political thinking of many members of my family. And let me tell you, Kathy, and she is not, it's not easy to change her mind. And I have to say, Congressman Ron Paul did that without even, no ulterior motive and without even trying. Jeff, looking forward to having you play a much bigger role on this show. I know our listeners appreciate it. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Thanks, Al.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates, Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.ke.com.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
This is a high Christmas priority for the survivalist on your gift list.
Ho, ho, ho!
For a very limited time, MyPatriotSupply.com is offering 30% off a special Christmas preparedness package, now through December 14th only. Stuff a stocking with a preparedness package that includes a 72-hour, 16-serving food kit, an emergency quick stove with four fuel discs, plus a five-pack of replacement fuel discs, two LifeStraw personal water filters, one magnesium fire starter, a four-pack of waterproof matches, and a $25 gift certificate to MyPatriotSupply.com. Regularly over $140, but now only $99. With free shipping to the lower 48, only from MyPatriotSupply.com and only through December 14th. Hurry to MyPatriotSupply.com or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. Merry Christmas from MyPatriotSupply.com.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas. This is an alert. If your business or church is building next year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. Call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. What does this mean? How about a 50 by 100 foot building for under $30,000? Don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 866-99-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 866-99-STEEL. That's 866-997-8335. Don't spend thousands of dollars more than you should. Call 866-99-STEEL today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You know, it's really, really sad, changing of the guard, for lack of better terms, back in Washington, D.C., vis-a-vis Congressman Ron Paul. But, you know, he's going to be a more of an active guest on our particular program in the future. Jeff Deist is starting to play a larger role in this particular radio program. So you ain't heard nothing yet, is all I can say. We're going to be chatting for most of the rest of the show about the situation that's going on in the resource sector, vis-a-vis the stocks. And, you know, John Kaiser brought out in his newsletter this past week that upwards of 550 of the publicly traded companies on the TSX Venture Exchange could very easily just dry up and blow away because they got less than $200,000 in cash, and they really don't have any assets per se to speak of. All they have are hopes and prayers. And John and I are going to talk about this, but I wanted to get an opinion from Grant Williams first, and that is, I would maintain that as investors get a little less frightened, I think more and more of them are going to go into the resource sector, and I would say that 2013 could be one heck of a year. You know, Grant, the numbers that came out this past week, the unemployment numbers, whether you believe them or not, were a little bit better. The consumer confidence numbers were a little bit better. The level of personal debt in the United States was, depending on which side of the tracks you're looking at, man, you know, I mean, it was, they're showing, let me say this, they're showing that people are really starting to spend money. I might add, spend money they don't have. But all of this, to me, bodes well for additional investment in resources. What does Grant Williams think?
I think the increased spending on credit is potentially a good thing, but the thing that worries me is how much of that is being spent on necessities and how much of it is discretionary spending. So that's certainly a consideration. But I think in terms of the resource stocks, look, they've had an awful year, let's face it. They really have had a bad year. They've disappointed a lot of people, and they've performed very, very badly. But having said that, as we go into 2013, they are very much at levels that we haven't seen in a long, long time. And they're very cheap in terms of ounces of gold. They're very cheap in pure fiat terms, the headline price. And all we need is some confidence that the gold price is going to continue higher. Because if people believe that the gold price is going to be higher at the end of next year, then these stocks are an absolute bargain. And then it just becomes a case of weeding your way through those stocks and trying to find the ones that offer the best value. So it really is going to be a case of getting a good tailwind behind gold. If gold has a good rest of December and starts performing well going into next year, I think you're going to see a lot of people rotating into some of these resource stocks.
I would have to say that even if gold and silver stay at the current levels, I think they're going to be okay. I mean, there are a host of companies out there in both of those particular sectors that are trading at less than their cash in the bank value. I would even say, you know, and I agree with virtually everything that you say, but I would even say even if gold goes down 150 bucks, that, you know, and silver goes down $2, $3, $4, $5, I still think the resource sector will be doing very, very well. We're doing a remote, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Grant is at the airport in Singapore right now, so you're getting a little bit of background here. But anyway, quite apart from that, Grant, do you agree with what I'm saying?
I do, but I think at this point in the cycle, what we need in the resource sector is new money. Mm-hmm. And so if gold stays the same, you know, we're not going to attract any new money into the sector. People are kind of washed out. They've had a hard year. We've seen a lot of people throwing the towel in. We're going to continue to see tax selling, I guess, in some of these stocks. And so, you know, the people that hold them and are hanging on for dear life, they need a stabilization of the gold price, which we're certainly seeing around the high 1600s, low 1700s level.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to either bring people back in who've been washed out in the last year, or more importantly, bring in new money, you know, we really are going to have to see some strength in the gold price. I think we're going to get it because, you know, I think this money printing craze is going to continue. And I think Japan are going to get seriously involved in this. And having given the rest of the world a significant head start, the Japanese are going to have to really, really floor the accelerator to try and catch up and generate this 2-3% inflation they're talking about. So, you know, I think the year's set up well again for gold and silver, but we do need it to strengthen to bring in new money to the resource stuff.
Give me a rundown real quick, if you would, as to what's going on in Japan. That's starting to hit the financial press more and more.
Yeah, and you're going to see that's going to be a story you're going to read a lot about. I mean, we've essentially got an election coming up. That's going to bring in a guy called Abe, who was the prime minister a little while ago. He resigned in disgrace. It's just the way these things go. But his party, the Liberal Democrat Party, which had been in power for most of the post-war period in Japan, looked like they're going to come back into power here with potentially a majority and a significant majority as part of a coalition. And Abe has stated that he is going to try and generate, initially he came up to 3% inflation in Japan. He's modified that to between 2 and 3%. But when you have deflation, you've had deflation for a number of years, that's a significant change. And if they get religion about this and they really try to do this, and there's a whole second story going on with the independence of the Bank of Japan, if they get the Bank of Japan to print money to generate 2-3% inflation, that is really going to make a sea change, and we're going to see an incredible amount of money getting printed in Japan, and the ramifications of that are enormous.
Going across the ocean just a little bit, I'm reading, you know, people are talking about a hard landing in mainland China, et cetera, but what I'm seeing right now is, in fact, no way is there going to be a hard landing in mainland China. Auto sales are up. Other types of sales are up. It looks like Chinese growth is going to stabilize somewhere around 8%. Are those the numbers that you're hearing?
Well, whatever number you're hearing is not the right number. I mean, all the numbers are official numbers put out, and they're unverifiable. We've spoken about this before. The GDP number is really in a week of the end of the quarter and is never revised. So, look, you have to take them with a pinch of salt. China certainly has its issues, and the new regime there, post the handover last month, certainly have got their work cut out. It's a little too early, I think, to make a definitive call on who's right, whether it's the hard landing crowd or it's the muddle through crowd. It's a little too early, but we're going to have a better idea within the next 6 months, I suspect.
I think over the next 6 months, my guess is we're going to have certainly a better idea about what's going on in the Far East. You know, it's flipping over to the United States, and I keep bringing all of this up only because I think it all has a meaningful impact on gold. And I agree with you, by the way, that I look for an increase mid to long term in the price of gold. I don't think there's any question about that. But, you know, I am really looking at the United States right now because the United States really, you know, the U.S. dollar has always been, in my opinion, the best of the worst, comparing it to currencies. And I think from an economic standpoint, the same holds true. It's the best of the worst. We got a minute left here. You got the final word, my friend.
Yeah, look, the U.S. has had a rough ride, as has Europe, as have certain parts of Asia. You know, the key to this, Al, is who's going to be the first country to really recognize and really tackle the problem, which is a debt. And sadly, you know, I think it's the answer is none of them. But the advantage the U.S. has with being the world's reserve currency and being the world's biggest economy is people will see it as a flight to safety. So as bad as the U.S. may be and as poor as the policymakers may be, if the others are worse, then they're going to attract the capital because it has to go somewhere.
Well, here's a $1 million question. Are the others worse? I would think they are. I think everybody's in terrible shape, but I think the others, in my humble opinion, are probably worse. Grant, thanks for taking some time. I appreciate it. I know that you are picking up some friends at the airport right now. Going to let you go, but always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TERAGANIX.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, my name is Annette, and due to menopause symptoms for nearly 2 years, I suffered severe hot flashes, which prevented me from sleeping all night. It was so hard to work because I continued all day to have the hot flashes from hell. I was exhausted and depleted. After only 3 weeks on One World Way, I have no hot flashes, and I'm sleeping normally again. I feel energized and strong. This is an amazing product.
It is a little-known fact that every single cell of your body is supposed to produce 10% of its protein content as glutathione. But due to toxicity and aging, it does not. Could glutathione be a missing factor in optimal cell function for your entire body? If you restore the optimal glutathione levels in your cells, especially your glands and organs, then as a result, your glands and organs work better. Imagine the quality of life improvement you might have. To order One World Way, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. You know, we're going to focus quite a bit on this particular show on gold, the commodity, silver, the commodity, and the shares that trade in that arena, for lack of better terms. And you're going to hear later on in the show my opinion and some other people's opinions about where we think the resource sector vis-a-vis the stock market is going to go next year. And I personally am very, very bullish. And one of my guests, John Kaiser, is also fairly bullish. I mean, we have some reservations, but we also have some what we think are logical reasons for that to happen. But I've got another friend who doesn't exactly feel necessarily quite as strongly as we do, and I want to get his view first, and that's Rick Ackerman of Rick's Picks. Rick, as you know, is a very regular guest on this program. He's a technician. He's one of the best technicians out there, and I would like to pursue this question with him. First of all, Rick, the street, if you view, you know, BNP Barabbas and some of the other folks as being the street, are calling for gold in the range of $1,800 an ounce, higher than $1,800 an ounce, between $1,800 and $1,900 an ounce in 2013, and then dropping down to, say, between $1,750 and $1,800 an ounce in 2014. I personally view this as being very, very healthy. Do you agree with these guys, or how do you feel about this right now?
Well, I'd be interested, first of all, in their methodology. You know, I try to get the next big move right, but to get the next two moves right, I'm not sure what you have to factor there. The most compelling chart to me right now suggests that gold could be range trading in between 1600 and 1800 into 2014.
Yeah.
It's within what I call a pennant formation, and in no great hurry, really, to break out of that. Obviously, there's a shot at going above or below the range somewhat, but I'm not seeing it. And to the extent that you want to see it corroborated in the mining stocks themselves,
mm-hmm.
my outlook over the next 4 to 8 weeks for these mining stocks is lower. And they've been beaten up pretty badly, but I have to say that some of them are at yet another cliff. And just to give you an example, the HUI Gold Bugs Index, I put out a forecast this morning it's about a 6% decline down to 402. It's currently trading around 433. So also GDXJ, a proxy for the junior miners, looks lower. And some of these key silver stocks, silver wheat, it's like it's just about to fall off the edge there.
You know, the consensus that we're going to be talking about among a lot of folks is that people are going to get a little more active in the security sector of the resource industry, because people are going to, you know, they're going to realize that the United States, yes, we're not in great shape economically, but, you know, there's a very good possibility that we're not getting any worse. And that's going to bring people out of their caves, for lack of better terms, and start investing in the quality resource companies. Now, apparently you don't see that happening. Is that right? And I'm speaking specifically right now about 2013, Rick.
Well, looking at the specific stocks, some of them are companies, Al, that you and I have visited together, the mine sites.
Mm-hmm.
They're great companies. They've got good proven reserves, great core samples, the works, and yet all of these factors seem to be unrecognized by investors. So you know that no matter how good the fundamental story is, that the stocks can continue lower, because it's not the story that counts, it's perceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if these stocks get beaten up a little more. And one fundamental factor that might account for that is that the U.S. seems to be headed into a deflationary maw, much the way Europe already has. You know, we're going to get a tax increase, a big one in any case, regardless of how these cliff negotiations turn out. So it's going to be higher taxes, smaller public outlays, even at the federal level, perhaps a slowing of the deficit spending. And so that on the ground, that's really a deflationary influence.
And mm-hmm.
Of course, that takes away from the perception that the runaway credit blowout that we're having is going to have an inflationary impact on all things. So I guess more like stagnation. Incomes don't go up, just the price of groceries.
A lot of folks are very concerned right now about hyperinflation, for lack of better terms. And I have a tendency to feel that isn't something that is something that is imminent. What are your thoughts on that? And I'm speaking strictly about the United States, Rick.
Well, I think to evaluate the odds, think of it in these terms. You owe, let's say, $250,000 on a $400,000 mortgage. If we had hyperinflation, you would be able to pay off the remainder of your mortgage with the kind of cash you'd be carrying in your wallet. You know, we'd add a few zeros to the money supply, and do you actually think that's likely? It also tells you who the losers are. You know, if we have a hyperinflation, anyone who is owed money is a loser. And, of course, you're talking about a lot of big banks. So I don't see hyperinflation as a practical possibility at this point. Although at the theoretical level, I'll kind of go along with Schiff's scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Peter is adamant about saying major hyperinflation is right around the corner.
I agree with him in theory, but when you sort of look at the steps, the links that get us there, they're not quite as credible. It's almost as though Peter has not quite thought through the thread of his own logic.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, the big winner in hyperinflation is anyone who owes money. So you have to ask yourself, are we all going to skip and go free in that way? And I think the answer is no.
Well, but the people who own the money, the big winner, you know, along that line, the big winner is the U.S. government. I mean, they're by far the biggest debtor that I can think of any place in the world.
Yes, ostensibly the U.S. is a big winner, but when it comes back to the trough for more credit, it's going to be difficult to get loans from for one, the Chinese, who have essentially staked us to big loans that helped us buy Chinese goods, among other things.
Yeah.
So, the U.S. could do that, but it would essentially destroy its credit rating, and it would make it very difficult for U.S. to borrow as a sovereign entity.
Yeah, and unfortunately, to borrow as a sovereign entity is an incredibly important part of the path that, you know, that the United States is on right now. I don't know. It's a very interesting time. Maybe I'm just saying this because I'd like to believe it, but I don't think it's true. Or I should say, I don't think that's the case, but I don't know. I have to tell you, I am very, very optimistic about the resource sector, and also and both looking at it from both a security standpoint and from a commodity standpoint. And I'm certainly not a technician, though, I have to say, and I just, you know, I admire you for what you do and from what, you know, folks like you and Roger Wiegand and other people like that do, but I simply don't understand it. Tell us, if you would, real quick, what's the logic behind, from a fundamental standpoint, why did the charts tell you that we're going to be possibly not in great shape next year in terms of commodities?
Well, I look at stocks simply in patterns, A, B, C, D patterns. You get what you call an impulse leg, A, B, up or down.
Yeah.
And then a corrective phase. And if the corrective phase does certain things, then it really amounts to telling you that the C, D leg is going to play out and look just like A, B.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of A, B down legs in these stocks, and they've set up for a CD leg. If I could bring a positive factor out, it is that in the past, over the last couple of years, gold has done some interesting foot fakes. It looked like it was just about ready to go over the cliff, and it pulled back from the brink. So I'm looking very closely at what I would call the brink, technically speaking, and I'll be on top of it if gold turns from here.
Well, I know you will. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a banner for Rick's website, on our website, Rick's Picks. He's a very bright guy. Let's see if he's right. Stick around. I'm going to be right back with John Kaiser on this same subject.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
We have witnessed two terrible storms in the east, but we are still in the eye of the perfect storm. The most devastating economic conditions since the Great Depression, America's worst drought in agricultural history, and now the economic results of the presidential election. This perfect storm is a huge threat to everyone's food supply. I just doubled down and got even more supplies from eFoods Direct, and I recommend you do the same. It's time to get your own supply from eFoods Direct. I know I won't be standing in a bread line trading my freedom for food. I'm taking control of my future, and you're nuts if you don't do the same. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the specials, and you can start with a holiday gift pack that's normally $80, now under $50. Remember, I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Would you rather prepare 6 months too early or one day too late? 409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay, and after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the Cornell Economics Report. Got my friend John Kaiser with me right now, the Kaiser Bottom Fishing Report. Known John for a lot of years. He's somebody who has been spot on in most of what he has written, certainly for as long as I have known him. John came out with a very interesting missive, I guess I would call it, this past week, and generated an awful lot of comment around our circles. Laura Stein sent me an email a couple of days after she read it, and she said this is perhaps one of the most important things I've ever read. I had some executives, mining executives, call me during the week and say, what do you think about what John wrote? And I said, well, I think he's pretty spot on in that. Specifically, what John said is that he feels, after doing a fair amount of research on the 1,500 or so public companies that trade on the TSX Venture Exchange, he's come up with a list of a little over 500 companies that are probably, in his opinion, going to dry up and blow away. That's not a thing a lot of people like to hear, but the fact of the matter is when you read what John wrote, it's very, very true. There are companies right now that simply do not belong to be in the realm of publicly traded companies. John, your thoughts?
Well, the problem is there's of the 1,800 Canadian listed resource sector companies that we have on our website, the latest statistics show 632 have less than $200,000 working capital.
Right.
And you need $100,000 a year just to do all your accounting and legal and listing fees and all this other kind of stuff. And then you probably need another $100,000 just to pay your staff and so on to do nothing, to continue to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So the burn rate is about $200,000 a year. So with 600 companies with less than $200,000 in the treasury in this very abysmal market where financings have dried up completely, it's simply a fact of life that unless something changes, these companies will simply die from lack of funding.
What could change, John?
Well, right now the whole mentality in the market is that we are still heading into a global depression or severe recession of some sort, which is going to dampen demand for metals. And although the metals have not declined at all, in fact, in cases of copper and gold, they are near their all-time highs, the valuations in the equities has gone down severely. So the first thing that I think needs to change is the perception that, in fact, global economic growth is back on track and that there will be, that the current prices are sustainable. And when that happens, then I think there'll be an inflection. There'll be a massive round of M&A activity. And my site has about 428 companies now that are at the resource feasibility demonstration stage, like not yet in production. They've got their resource estimate. They're doing a PEA or pre-feasibility study, and they're trying to demonstrate that their project works at the current metal prices. A good portion of those, I think, will disappear as the big guys go from being glass half empty to glass half full. And then that'll, of course, create a huge inflow of capital with nowhere to go. And that's why I think we are also heading into a discovery exploration boom such as we had in the 80s and 90s and did not have in the last decade. The problem for these juniors, why I think 500 could disappear, is that there really aren't a lot of deposits discovered in during the last 50 years, which were then exploration failures, but which today can be rethought in terms of the higher real metal prices, that can be dragged out of the woodwork and stuffed into these companies that are essentially shells. So what they need to do is generate new prospects, discovery-type prospects, and of course that's not so easy as it was in the past decade where we went into these new exploration frontiers in South America and so on and looked for color anomalies, you know, walk the ground. Now you have to look deeper. Now you have to look into older systems and do very sophisticated geology. And I don't think that talent is available on a basis to accommodate the 500 companies that are currently in at discovery exploration with more than 200 grand and to help out those 600 companies that don't have any money and maybe have an interesting prospect, but are having a hard time convincing anybody that they deserve money for discovery-type exploration.
Interesting question here is you have basically outlined a scenario that states that the perception among investors needs to change, okay? People need to be, they need to not have a whole lot of trepidation, for lack of better terms, in their investment decisions. They have to realize, as I think you believe, that the economy is starting to come around, certainly in the United States. I know that a couple of our colleagues, Paul Van Eden specifically, feels that that is the case. And I, you know, John, when you and I chatted off the air about this earlier in the week, my comment was, I really can't agree with what you're saying from a macroeconomic standpoint, but that conversation was a couple of days ago. And I've thought about it a lot, and I'm just kind of wondering if perhaps you may not be right. And I certainly think that you're right in your comment about that's the only thing that perhaps could breathe some life into the resource sector. Comments?
You know, there's talk about a manufacturing renaissance happening in the United States, and it's really interesting. From 1980 until 2010, there were 7 million manufacturing jobs. You look at the chart, it's a consistent downtrend. After 2010, it's flattened. In fact, it's increased. We've had 500,000 jobs being created. Now, these are not jobs where they're bringing back factories with many, many employees assembling stuff, as happens in China right now. These are highly automated factories that employ a fraction of the people that was the case during the last century. There are good strategic reasons to reshore production capacity from the Far East back into the United States. One is the high cost of transportation fuel, you know, shipping stuff across oceans. Another fact is that America remains the biggest market for anything in the world. So you want to be closer to your market. Another is the rising cost structure in China. As China's middle class comes into its own, it's becoming far more concerned about quality of life rather than quantity of life, which means they care about the pollution and all these other costs that are dumped on others, these so-called externalities, which subsidize the low cost structure in China. So that's changing. Labor costs are rising. So the difference between producing in China and producing in the United States with highly automated technology is shrinking. So I think this trend is in place. And when you follow all the fuss about the South China Sea, all the disputes about the islands, I think that's a serious problem that basically that's in the middle of the shipping lanes where all this stuff from Asia comes over here. So
yeah.
I think there's a within the industry, there's a sense we need to do this, and they're just waiting for the right timing. We got to navigate past this fiscal cliff, and then I think we're going to see some brighter light at the end of the tunnel than we have seen the last 4 years.
Well, you know, one thing that I have stressed on the program of late is that people need to get off their behinds, and they need to not complain. They need to be proactive in virtually in their lives, and that's something that I simply can't back down, John, from that one. But, you know, a couple of things happened this past week that add a little bit of fuel, certainly, to your fire. One of them is the job numbers that came out on last Thursday were actually pretty darn good. Okay, they're not great, but they are certainly an improvement. And whether you believe the numbers or not, the fact of the matter is a lot of people are believing them, because according to the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index, which came out on just this past Thursday, consumer confidence held last week near a 7-month high. That's positive. You know, the number is certainly still negative. It's minus 33.8. But the fact of the matter is it's getting better. People, I think, out of, for lack of better terms, simply out of self-defense, are starting to think, you know, maybe we ought to play the game. Maybe we ought to quit complaining. Maybe we ought to assume that the numbers are close to being correct. Maybe we ought to assume that the economy is getting better. I mean, it's not in the best interest of anybody, certainly the administration, for the economy to get worse. There's no question about that. And, you know, John, I have to tell you, after thinking about our conversation earlier in the week when we weren't taping and my violent disagreement with you, I have to say at this point, I'm really not sure that I do disagree. You know, I'm going to ask, if you wouldn't mind sticking around, we've got to take a break here at the top of the hour, but I'd like you to come back in the next segment, and I want to pursue this discussion from a standpoint of what investors can do at this moment in time other than just hide their heads under the pillow. Is that going to work for you?
It will certainly work for me.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.